So, here it is.
All right, well, good afternoon. My name is Tristan Pogba.
I'm Joe Steidel.
And we're from the Center for Research in Science in Azusa Pacific University. And here we're here to present our research on sustainable water reclamation for healthy living. First of all, you might be wondering what water reclamation is actually doing in a faith science conference, honestly. What we like to do in the Center for Research in Science is approach science with mission. That's actually one of our goals. And that's to actually utilize our scientific knowledge in a purpose that we think that our faith integration needs. And in this case, one of the needs that we actually have is water scarcity. As you can see on this map, this is actually a global map of physical and economic water scarcity. Personally, I'm actually from the Philippines, and I've actually experienced this type of need, especially within urban communities where there's not really a good source of just purified water. And globally, I've learned that approximately 2.8 billion individuals across the continent are suffering from this tragedy. And what's worse is that these actually promote hazardous health risks. And for example, dehydration and diarrhea are just examples of it, where low water quality and quantity affect individuals daily. Thus, you can see that there's a huge need for water recycling as well as water conservation. And what's amazing is in the 21st century, and the scientists yourself, you already know that there's places such as New Water in Singapore where they can reclaim unpotable water all the way to drinking water by using advanced membrane technologies where they use reverse osmosis and it just purifies it amazingly. There's also one close to our home in California, where we're from, called the Poseidon Water Project, where it uses this $1 billion big rig facility where they desalinate seawater. And it's necessary because California is actually going through an incredible drought. But the problem is, as you can see, places, for example, here in Central Africa, in Central America, in the Middle East, you can see economic water scarcity is a huge need. And these $1 billion projects are not accessible to these places. There's limitations to these because of financial limitations. And thus, they can't take on these advanced water reclamation technologies.
So, our objectives. So, these areas can't afford the billion, million-dollar program. So we try to develop, our goal is to develop a functional, cost-effective, and self-sustaining method to take used water that is unhealthy to use again and then bring it back towards a usable level using minimal energy, minimal cost, and locally available resources. That last part is especially important because if we bring our own technology there and it breaks, then they're in the exact same situation. So we want to use what they have available to then maintenance and produce this technique. So our goal is to develop environmentally friendly, ecologically based solutions that can be applied in these low income community-based outposts, and as well as areas of more affluent nature like Carlsbad, California, or all of Southern California, and that area, which is also in need of good water. So the way we're going to do that is emulate the Earth's natural water cycle. So what happens is the sun will evaporate water, put rain into the sky, and it will precipitate over land, and this is the primary phase where removal of solids, particles, dirt, etc., water is filtered and percolated through the ground and back into fresh water sources, where it is then cut off. But there it is, the sun further helps to sterilize the water and get some of the microbial aspects out of it. To lead to the third phase, where plants will actually absorb the water and strip out the chemical the nutrients that the plant needs, but it's not really what we still want in the water. So it brings us finally to our last phase, which is again polishing what is called polishing the water, basically evaporating back into the atmosphere, and that can help with removing certain odors from the water and further sterilize it as well. And so we're going to go a little bit more in depth on our method.
Right. So as a prospective engineer, we wanted to approach this problem with an engineering lens, in a sense. And so we looked at the primary phases, and what that included, of course, back in the slide, was the percolation of above groundwater all the way to the underground aquifers. The biosand filter is actually a very popular mechanism used in Central America, where it all the water goes through a series of sand and gravel and takes out a higher input of just output of water. A very purified state, but not necessarily fully purified, of course. This is just a primary phase. But nonetheless, it creates it takes out the turbidity that most of the dirty water that you find in Central America has. What the beauty of the biosand filter is, unlike the slow sand filter, is the biolayer part, if you can see over there. If you know what an anaerobic tank is, this is exactly what it's engineered for. It creates this layer of just microorganisms where it can have a slight metabolic process where it breaks down the biological and chemical impurities that you don't want in the water. But nonetheless, this is one of our projects that we want to be able to create separately from the whole system. But the secondary phase will actually include this, a solar water disinfection method, SODIS for short. This is actually a method that's very popularized by the EWAG, it's a Swiss Federal Institute for Water Reclamation. What they do is they promote water disinfection through solar energy. What they promote is that if you actually put basically bottled water, dirty bottled water within the sun for about 6 hours, it will actually improve the standard of water by approximately 96% of at least bacteria, viruses, and even chemical impurities. And so it sterilizes the biological microbial pollutants causing the waterborne diseases that you find in most of these underdeveloped communities. What we have here is actually one of our proposed designs to be able to imitate the SODIS, but in a more efficient way. The reflectors, as you can see, will actually increase the disinfection that most of these, of what you can usually just do by putting flat bottled water out in the sun. And what these reflectors will do will increase the thermal heat, increase the UV rays, and hopefully increase the production and disinfection of the water that's being used. One aspect that we really want to be able to implement is the environmental conservation part. And thus, we want to be able to engineer and design these mechanisms with recycled materials. For example, the glass tubes, the UV exposed tubes, we want to be able to hope to use glass, recycled glass to make those, and even the reflectors to have necessarily recycled aluminum to be able to reflect those as well.
So our third phase, we take from what was developed at University of Maryland at the Mars Desert Research Center. So they call it their GreenHab greenhouse. And basically, it's a series of areas where the water is put through these various tanks. And we see we have an anaerobic, an aerobic, an anoxic, a plant growth runway, and another optional anaerobic tank. So the water will be transported through these different areas, and the plants and microbes in the tanks will then further filter a lot of inorganic and organic chemicals that we don't want in the water. Now, the actual greenhouse burned down a while ago in the Mars Desert Research Center, but the theory still works, and it was not because of the actual technical process that burned down. But another good aspect of this is you get agricultural benefits from this as well, based off of what plants you use in this plant growth runway up at the top. And so our last phase is our polishing phase. So we use a similar type of process that the secondary stage had, but with a bigger emphasis on actually evaporating the water, not just giving it access to sunlight. So this is a design for a solar still, in which you can see there's a slight decline in the actual angle that the roof is at, so that sunlight can get in, and when the water is evaporated up top, it will then run via gravity down to these troughs on the side. So our overall goal is to build these in a way where you can install them once and not have very minimal maintenance required. And using gravity and sunlight is the best way to do that. So the best use for all of these methods is together. We want to emulate the entire water cycle and not just individual parts. Like Tristan said, in Central America, they're using the biosand filters already. It's a popular water filtration method. And other, like the greenhouse is already in use, and solar stills are already in use. But we want to implement all of these together so that you can take used water, whether that has contained soap, dirt, organic cells, or and pesticides, all these chemicals that naturally find their way to water, and bring it back up to a usable level, but not necessarily like to all the way to drinking water. As you can see, you know, the various levels of water potability, with plant water being the lowest, and all the way down, drinking water being the highest purification level. So what this does outside of just a fun engineering process, this promotes really sustainable living tendencies in lower income communities like Central Africa and the Indies and lower India, where normally that's not really one of their common thought processes. I spent some time in Zambia, in fact, and their natural, just part of their gear sort of cycle is they light everything they can see on fire. Now, what this does is it quickly will get rid of their crops so they can plant again right before the rain season, but it also will start massive forest fires that sweep across Central Africa. And so I lived with people working there trying to teach them better methods of farming so that they weren't doing all this devastation to the areas around them as well. This is also something that would instill that in communities all over the globe, where there are different ways of getting your water and using water, but the best way is the most sustainable way. And that's both good for the environment as well as their health. So further applications and testing.
And as Joe said, that's actually what we really want to do in the end. Be able to go to missionary aid outposts, humanitarian aid outposts, internationally and even here in the States, where we can just apply these methods, these environmentally friendly methods, to help others. And how we want to do that is to take all of these methods as a whole and create these communal gray water systems. In short, ablution blocks, if you know what that is, but basically facilities where communities can actually use to be able to wash their clothes, to take a shower, and especially to get drinking water. especially when they don't have a sewage system or a water flow system within that community. But yeah, overall, our research project is continuing to be processed. We're in the process of constructing the actual mechanisms themselves and testing them, and that's what we need for, and thus there's the need for collaborating with researchers such as yourselves and other reclamation facilities. And overall, there's an even bigger need for just a design for the self-sustainable water flow that we can use for these ablution blocks as well. And
yeah,
that's it. Thank you guys.
My brother-in-law is on the board of an NGO called Water for Cambodia, and they built a sand gravel filter. They're completely locally sourced. They're all concrete, square concrete, things about 4 feet high, about a foot by a foot. And we went out there and installed about four of them, and we got to understand how it works. And they have wells that are contaminated, so well, there's no sewage system. The water is actually clean at the water plant, but there's the sewer system, the water pipes leak, so those that even have water in pipes, and turn on vents, not even clean. But this is out in Siem Reap. And so they drink it, and they cook and drink with it, even though just the filter, it pretty much removes about 99% of the bacteria and viruses, they say. It's like you said, it's the anaerobic and the biofilm are the steps. So, I think it's nice to go for all these stages that you're doing, but in some places, of course, a 99% solution, that helps a lot with infant mortality, So it's about $70 the cost to make one of these things installed, and they could charge $7, so they'll take it seriously, And there's they talked to the chief of the village, installed this thing. Very interesting, but I see it could be a key component of what you're doing. It's go out in Asia and Africa, I think, as well as Central America.
Definitely. Yes.
My question is, on the various filters you have, the ones you've built, what scale are they? These are like family ones, village ones. Obviously, you could make them bigger and bigger. What scale have you worked on so far?
So far, with our prototype, we have a very small scale. The word that we're just trying to get the flow rate to a good rate, actually, usable, so that we can implement the other options. But hopefully, the plan is to get it to a scale large enough for a whole village or community. So think sort of like a ablution block for 30 to 40 people. Yes?
If you have a functioning solar cell, it's not clear to me why you need the other steps?
It's actually very, very difficult to use the solar cell itself. The other steps are actually initial steps, just to actually reach that polishing phase. Overall, what we actually realize is it's very hard to even deal with black water, and in a sense, those very, very hard to filter out disinfect waters. And even a solar still isn't necessarily strong enough to release all that, evaporate all that water. And there's still that leftover. And thus, we believe that going through all these phases will actually create better efficiency.
Another point with that is that using the solar still by itself still requires a lot of cleaning and maintenance that can be reduced by the implementation of the other processes as well. Yes, move on.
I know activated charcoal is used to purify water sometimes, and I don't remember how it's prepared, but I wonder if it could be locally sourced from charred wood or something like that.
Actually, we'll look into that. It's a good idea. Yes.
It seems like the majority of the technique here is against either just turbidity type contaminants or like disease contaminants, but I guess probably an increasing fraction of problematic contaminants could be from industrial waste that gets into the water.
Yeah.
And curious how these systems work with that, actually, and whether there are additional steps that are necessary.
Definitely, probably additional steps necessary. We started off trying to take a small bite out of this and get it to work, and then scale up from there. So, if I can go back to this one, so we want to start with water that has been either utility water or laundry, and then get to basically water that's good enough again for shower, dishwashing, not quite cooking or drinking, just so we can get all the bad stuff out again and so it can be used. Now for chemical runoff from industrial sources, we would have to go probably from the black water area of plant water, or plant watering, toilet water, to the same area, which is just takes is a bit more of a process of disinfection. So at least for what we've researched so far, it's trying to take a small bite,
yeah,
scale up from there. But that is one of the next phases, yes.
Do you have a one-page summary or website or anything? Is there any other report that I can go back and send people to other than this one you've given here?
Not one that I can think of, but we can give you our email address.
We actually published posters about and presented overall conferences.
Your email addresses are on here.
Definitely,
so
yeah.
I got you.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about using local sources. Some of this doesn't seem quite that local. Have you looked into options where they use plant materials, seeds, certain plants in a particular area to begin some of the filtration process? Are you familiar with ECHO and their work in South Florida? They use the moringa seeds, for example, to begin that filtration process. And a lot of communities in Africa that I'm aware of that will use certain plant sources to kind of begin that filtration process.
No, definitely. We have ongoing research on which the ordering of this whole system will look like, because the water cycle is a cycle for a reason. It goes in a circle. Where you start on that circle is really up to you. So far, we've found that the best method is start with the filtration, with the sand and grab the biosand filter, because that can remove a lot of the bigger solids first, which removes a lot of the maintenance. But definitely the use of plants is very important because, I mean, it's a biological engine that can grow as well as clean the water out. So,
yeah, tying that in with one of the other questions, if created wetland, if you have a more contaminated, larger source, you can run it through, if there's any vertical relief, through a wetland area or create a wetland. Mm. They've done this in India and other countries, and then that water going through, like you said, the plants will take up many of those nutrients, contaminants, settle off the solids or particulate, and then you can work with it, some of these other things. Otherwise, if it's so laden, it would gum up this sand filter, for example.
Yeah.
So you can work with what's there or create something that would do that.
Definitely, yeah. Good comment.
In terms of local resources, how much problem is the glass in terms of availability and say in Africa?
Can I ask which method are you talking about?
Several of these
processes
utilize either plate glass or special types of glass.
We haven't explored obviously every area that has this water scarcity problem, but we found that more often than not, they have access to resources like glass and aluminum, because those are have been very easily translatable occupations for people who are exiting farming but don't have any schooling. So, there's lots of metalworking done in at least southern to middle Africa. And as far as glass products go, they're everywhere. Coca-Cola itself, when I was there, it was the one company that I recognized in almost every place I went. So there's plenty of opportunities for recycling. I don't know if the recycling installations are there already, or if that would be something to implement as well. But I think the hard resource of just glass in general is readily available.
And Coca-Cola as a corporation internationally is putting a lot of money into helping keep improve water quality wherever they're planning to go. Not just for their facilities, but for the community.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.